بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about the issue of adab as which refers to respect, an attitude of deep respect and veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his kitab, for his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I am mentioning to you and saying that we learn this from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn it from some of the salaf salihin, that this is an essential part and essential requirement for all, to gain all religious knowledge. I would expand it to say to gain any knowledge. Somebody who is lacking in respect cannot learn anything, whether it's religious knowledge or not, doesn't matter. But here we are talking about religious knowledge. So we are saying here that this respect is critical. Now, what does that include and what does it mean? Some of these things I have mentioned before. Let me talk about something else. I would like to say to you that it begins, the fundamental thing there is a sense of the value of what we have. You know, to look at it in another way, take how a person who saves money over a period of time, maybe a long period of time, and then buys a car, compared to a young person who is driving or who is sitting or using his parents' car. You should not, if the young person is brought up properly, but usually you see a big difference between the two. The person who spent his own money and bought a car will treat it very differently from somebody who just, within quotes, inherited the car. The one who inherited the car is probably going to be more careless with it. He probably will not spend his weekend, washing and cleaning and polishing it. Whereas for the person who spent his own money, saved up, and then bought the car, you don't have to tell him to do that. I mean, this is something that he will do. He lavishes so much love and care and affection on that car, because he has value for it. He knows how much he had to, within quotes, suffer before he could get that car, how much of effort he had to make, how much of, choices he had to make. Because if he's saving money for the car, maybe at some point he had to make a choice of not investing in something else which he wanted because he was saving up for the car. So these are all, this value for something means that you appreciate the amount of effort that goes into getting it, and you appreciate the benefit of it. The person looks after the car because he knows that this is a very highly beneficial thing for me. So he looks after it because he knows also that if you want to enjoy something, you have to look after it. Now, let us apply this to the acquisition of religious knowledge. I mentioned to you the story of Imam Malik and so on, and this is true for practically everybody. People, real students of Islamic knowledge, they always, invariably, without exception, they always did more in terms of demonstrating respect than less. And demonstrating is not for other people, for themselves. For example, they would not ask a question which we get normally asked, which is to say, is it necessary for me to have wudu to touch the Quran? Somebody who is serious about learning the Quran, he won't ask that question, because he will not touch the Quran without wudu. That is a given for him. He's not looking at the fiqh aspect of it. He's not looking at, he's not minimalist in his thinking. He's not looking to say, where is the boundary marker? I can go all the way up to it. He is erring on the side of caution, and he's saying, no, I will not even go near the boundary. I will forget about crossing the boundary. I won't even go near the boundary, because that is a mark of respect. Take the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that a person who, he said that every king has a boundary, and the boundary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is the Malikul Haqq, he is the real king, is the things that he has prohibited. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, do not be like a shepherd who grazes his flock of sheep very close to the boundary of the king, because it is very likely that one or more of them will cross over the boundary and the shepherd will be in trouble. So he says, don't graze your sheep close to the boundary of the king, because there is danger for you in that. Meaning that if there is something that Allah has prohibited, don't worry about, don't even think about crossing it or not crossing it. Don't ask those questions even. Just stay far away from the boundary so that you are absolutely certain that you have not crossed the boundary. To the best of your ability, you have exercised that caution. And this is a sign of adab. This is a sign of adab. So the person wears, the person who is approaching knowledge, his Islamic knowledge, with the right attitude, this person will make sure that he has tahara, he will make sure he has wudu, he or she will make sure that they are wearing the proper clothes. Once again, we are not looking at what is the boundary in the Sharia. For example, if you are a man, you have to cover the area between your belly button and your knees, meaning above the belly button and below the knees. So your cloth must cover that, not up to the knees, but below the knees. Today you see many young people praying in long shorts, which when they are standing, those long shorts just about cover their knees. But if you see them sitting in tashahud, the knees are completely bare, because the shorts, obviously when you are sitting down, the shorts ride up. Now, technically speaking, the salah becomes invalid because your satr has been exposed. Now, why would you want to wear clothes like that if you have adab in your heart? Right? You would wear something which is longer, where there is no chance of your satr being exposed. You have no chance of the body parts which are prohibited from being exposed. There is no chance at all of them being exposed when you are in... when you are in salah. This is a sign, whether you take the trouble or not, is a sign to tell you if you have adab or not. And believe me, if you do not have adab, then you cannot get benefit of Islamic knowledge. As I told you, any knowledge, but Islamic knowledge particularly, you have to treat it with respect. People who don't treat guns with respect get shot by themselves. People who don't treat knives with respect get cut by themselves. This applies to everything. People who don't treat their cars with respect will have an accident because, you know, they have not taken care of the car and something breaks down or something malfunctions. Respect with regard to learning is a very, very good thing for us to keep in mind and to ensure that we never go, we never break that boundary. So wearing the right kind, so having taharat, being in a state of wudu, wearing the right kind of clothes which are respectful when you go to the masjid or when you go to pray, remember that you're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've seen so many people, including people giving khutbah of Jummah without any head covering. Now again, people go into the fiqh, why is it fard to do head covering? Who said it's... I'm not saying it's fard, I'm not giving you a fatwa here. I'm just saying it's a mark of respect. Rasulullah ﷺ did not ever give a khutbah without a head covering. We have the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who mentioned that he would always wear a turban. Sometimes he would tie the turban on his helmet, sometimes on a cap, sometimes without anything, just on his blessed head. He would wear a white turban, he would wear a black turban sometimes, but he would always have his head covered when he was on the minbar. There is one hadith with regard to Rasulullah ﷺ praying without a head covering, that is, obviously he was praying Nafil Salah, and they said that he just had a shower probably, so people saw water dripping from his blessed hair, but that's just one hadith and one time. We seem to have made that into a rule for ourselves that we never pray with a head covering. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Why? Why? What shall we do with all the other ahadith, so many of them, which talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying with a head covering? So if you want to follow the hadith, very, very good. Alhamdulillah. So you one day in your life, please pray without a head covering. But for the rest of your life, pray with a head covering, because the ahadith which talk about praying with a head covering are far more than the ones which talk about praying without. Now, the issue here is not the hadith. The issue here is not can you take a ruling from one hadith or what happens when there is one hadith about something and 20 about something else. It's nothing. It's not about any of that. I'm not going into that. I am saying it's an indicator of the attitude in your heart. It's an indicator of the attitude of respect in your heart. So I remind myself and you, let us look into our hearts. Let us see what is the level of adab in our hearts, and then let that level of adab, let us clean our hearts, let us increase that adab, and then let that enhanced adab, inshallah, we ask Allah to make it as much as it should be. Let this be expressed in our behavior, in our clothing, in the way we act, in the way we treat each other, in the show of respect, for example, for the teachers, and so on and so forth. So inshallah, let's try to do that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.